Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
This is what I hear the Lord saying. I hear shouts of joy. I hear shouts of joy. And I hear the Lord saying victory. I hear Him saying you've been through a time of trial. You've been tried and tested by fire, and you have come out the other side. And you come out victorious. Now you are being anointed for something special. Now you are being placed on your throne. Now you occupy that throne. The Lord says that victory, victory, shouts of joy. Hallelujah. You step into a new era. You step into a new place. You step on a higher rock. In the name of Jesus. You step on a rock that is higher than what you have been. In the name of Jesus. You stand there and you're firm there. And you shall not be shaken because you build on that rock. Now everything that you build from this day onwards is built on that rock. And even the waves will come, the winds will come, but you shall not tumble over because you have built on a rock. And you shall shout with the shouts of joy. Shouts of joy, shouts of joy, shouts of victory in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Ria zinto roshe, la zinto roshe. Sikire mroshe lo lo zinte. Soko kwa zinte la vashira mra zinto roshe lo mro zinte.
You come, you gentlemen. Praise the Lord. You know, I was praying for you last night. You don't know, you didn't even know that I was, you know. But somehow the Lord brought me to you because you have a very powerful ministry here, first. And from the day you came to my office, I knew that there was something special. Because the Lord sent you, and I knew that there was something special you're supposed to do here.
Amen.
Now, yesterday I was putting you in a certain place, which you're going to have to discover for yourself and step there, which I'm not going to tell you.
Amen.
But you have something powerful. Eh?
Amen.
And a new phase of your life has begun.
Amen.
Like completely new. Eh?
Amen.
Which is going to be unlike what you've known before, eh?
Amen.
Which is not going to be in the line of struggle.
I receive.
You have learned obedience through suffering. And now you know that you have come to a place of surrender to the will of God in your life.
Amen.
And you've come to the place where if it's not the will of God, it's not your will.
Amen. Yeah? Amen.
Now this is the beginning of, what's your name?
Tawla Ronald.
Yes. Of that phase of your ministry, which you've only ever dreamt about and thought about, you know, but now is materializing.
I receive.
Now I release a financial grace upon you.
I receive.
Sekere Brazil Akabashelo Brozante Rebeshika Razilo Mozant. Sekere Moshelegimazin. I release a financial grace upon you.
I receive.
In the name of Jesus. And upon your wife.
I receive.
Now I hear the Lord saying that if she will respect the call on your life and honor it, she will be lifted high up at her workplace. She works, eh?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And in respecting what God has called you to do, and not standing in the way of it, is her own promotion.
Amen.
When did you get married?
March this year.
Now, I hear the reason I ask that is because by March, your anniversary, your first anniversary,
yeah, you'll be unrecognizable from what you were. Amen. Even at the time. You just hold my hand. Have you ever thought of farming?
Yes.
Because I see even if you're in ministry, you're actually supposed to be doing some serious farming.
I've ever done it before.
You've done it before.
Yeah.
Now I see as if you're going to have land. You're from the east.
No.
But I see as if you're going to have land the side of Chiboga.
Wow. Yes, I receive. Yes.
Do you know anything about that place?
Yes.
What do you know about that place?
My mom, the one I told you, comes from there. She's
from So you're going to that's where you're going to have like serious land and do serious produce.
I receive.
And so your prosperity will not only be just for church, although it will be that too. Amen. But will also be from that.
Amen.
From that area. Did I know about Chiboga? Have you ever told me about Chiboga? So you see, when I get things, you should clap for me, so that I get more. Some of people are behaving as if. Anyway, that is what the Lord is saying to you.
Amen.
And that's what you're going with today.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, there is talk, and there are people who take that line of posturing and talk and all those things, and it's a way of life. And unfortunately, some of them have been through my hands. If somebody has been through my hands and he still goes and he thinks that promotion comes by posturing and going and, you know, calling people and telling them, come and submit to me and what, like, I'll deny you, you are an illegitimate child. Have I ever called anybody to tell them to submit to me? I can't. Do you understand? But you see, there are people who have been, they have even been here. But they do those things. They are there posturing, trying to look so important and all that. Let me tell you something. I don't know why it's so difficult for people to do things the easy way. Okay? And it happens with everything. You try. Some time ago, I tried it and I realized that the best way is the way of God. When he does something, you cannot do it better than him. When the Lord lifts you up and puts you somewhere, there is nothing anybody can do about that. Actually, if they try to do something about what God has done, they come down themselves. Because the person who put you there is the one who is responsible for keeping you here. Amen. So when they come against you, actually, they tumble by themselves around. But you see, if you put yourself there, then you have a responsibility to keep yourself there. Now, there is a way of humility. And honestly, that's the way that I teach. Okay? I don't puff myself up. And even the jokes that I make here about what, I really, really don't puff myself up. I don't go to places and start saying, telling people, honor me, you know. Yeah, you know, I deserve to be honored and so on. Like, that is petty, childish, and impetuous and illegitimate of this ministry. I am not like that. Nobody, even if I'm not your father, if I've ever been your mentor, and you've ever been under this ministry, and you're going around telling people how they should submit to you, honor you, give your tithe to. Have I ever told anybody to give me a tithe? Even when I know you're supposed to, I will say, go and pray about it. The most I have done is interpret a dream and say, that's what that dream is telling you to do. But no, come and honor me. Come and do what? Come on, like, that is childish and can never take you anywhere. It is so shallow, and that is really building on sand. Because how do you sustain that? I'll give you an example. Now, let me tell you. My father told me
my spiritual father, some years ago, that he would be, they would be in a place, and then they do these things of, you know, releasing, then everybody, what? Falls. Then one day, he said, after releasing, he actually repeated the story yesterday. One day after releasing, but he told it to me so many years ago, and it had an impact on my life that has been sustained up to now. So when they were busy releasing, release and people actually fall. And actually there would be something. Then when he sat down, and now he gave his friend to also what? Release. Now the friend was busy releasing, and then here the Lord was telling him that now, do you know, that is empty. Somebody is going to fall down with sickness and wake up with sickness. He's going to fall down broke and wake up broke. And you've not done anything. He says, isn't it better if you give them a prophetic word that constructs their lives, that will edify you and them? Or if you minister to them healing and they are healed, that edifies both you and them. Then there there is substance. Then he said, the Lord told him, now the Lord is speaking to him when he's seated behind, when his friend is busy, what? Releasing. Then he told him that if you settle for something which is fake, you will never get the real thing. And I wish people knew that that is the law of life. If you settle for something which is fake, okay, you forfeit the real thing. Do you understand? If, for instance, I called that gentleman there, and he told me things and I know them, because he told them to me. But then I pretend that I'm prophesying. Once I do that, I give up on the real prophecy. I have settled for the fake. Do you understand? So even when I know something from knowledge, I will say this one he told me. When it is prophetic, I will say this one is prophetic. Or I will not try to give the impression that it's prophetic, yet actually somebody told me. I cannot do that, because once I do it, the real thing is gone. I've settled for fake. And now I've forfeited the what? The real. Yet the journey to get the real thing is not difficult. It's just that for some reason people seem to settle for fake things. The journey to get real prosperity is not that difficult. But if you want to use it, you know, if you want this one of where you're, you know, taking advantage of people and what, you set yourself up for a lifetime of struggle. If you could feather somebody today and he gives you 10 million, that's not all the money you're going to need. Tomorrow you need another 10 million. And then you have to feather again. And then again. Really? How do you live your life like that? Do you understand? Yet you could have actually. Now I learned this way back. That you see, I can call Abraham here and tell him, you know, give me 20K. I need fuel for my what? For my car. I can't, but okay. This is figurative speaking. Then Abraham was her. If you had only called 30 minutes ago. But now I've just bought this and that. Then it tells me a story. For 20K. So I learned that. But the day God touches him, he will bring 20 million without me ever asking him. So when I learned that, I realized that I don't disturb any man. Let God do it. When God does it, it's thorough. Because he brings it, you'll have to bring it again. The same person who brought it the first time, we'll have to do it again and again. So people you don't know walk into your office and give you millions of shillings. Who does that? Who does it? Have I asked any of them for it? No, I haven't. I've not even done anything to imply that they should. But somehow they do. And now that settles me, because I know all I have to please is God. I'm not living to please Abraham, because tomorrow I might need another 20K. Then I have to please also Roger, because I might need 30K. Then you live your life in bondage. In all these things. But you see, the reason people can come from a ministry like this and go somewhere and they turn out being totally different from the things they could have learned from me. Praise the Lord. Because I'm not a young person and I've not been in ministry for a short time. There are so many things that people can learn from me, not even ministry, even in other aspects. But they choose not to, and they choose to go somewhere. And you see, there is a scripture which I love, but it's somewhere in 2 Corinthians 11. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. Now, what he's saying is that he is among a church which he started, but there are people, because of course he does not start and stay there, he starts and goes, but there are people who come and they want to be seen the same as him. So they come with pafare. Pafare means kuzimba, eh? And full of themselves, and they speak big. And the person who planted that church and who is the spiritual father of these people is the exact opposite. And he actually says someplace that they say that his letters are weighty, but his speech is contemptible. His speech is lightweight. Because people want people who speak in a certain way. You understand? Eh? Now, Paul, who has substance, comes and is speaking in a... And you see, I've told you this before. You can tell people substance from the way they speak. They are good speakers, then they are substance people. You understand? Eh? Now, if I really had wanted to pursue the path of being an orator, I know I could have gone and trained myself. And I come here and I blow you away with oratory skills. But there would be no substance. And somehow I would have settled for the fake and I forfeited the what? The real. Now, these people, go back to that thing, for his letters are what? Yeah. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will be indeed when we are present. In other words, there is no difference between what I write and what I say and what I am. Now, that's how you tell a true minister. Because the messenger has to become the message. Where people look at you and you are the message, you're not just a messenger. So if you're preaching about something that is supposed to be happening in the church, people look at you and say you are the very embodiment of that thing that you're preaching. So now Paul says, let such a person consider that what we are in word by letters, we don't just write. We are not, it's not just letters. Even when we're absent, such we will also be indeed, indeed when we are present. Okay, go to verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not what? The old King James says are fools. I think that's a better version. Okay. We, however, do you understand? Eh? Eh? Because you're comparing yourself to yourself. And you're measuring yourself by yourself. So somehow you have to have 100%. Because you are the standard measure. You understand? Eh? So you are the marking scheme. So somehow you pass. And that's the easiest way to pass. So you say, if you can't be like Kableta, then you're doomed. So I come and say, all of you have to be like me, otherwise you're doomed. So I've made myself the marking scheme, so that way I can never fail. But the Bible says that's what? Foolish. Hey, that's being a fool. Because you measure yourself by yourself. Then it says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. A sphere which especially includes you. So he says that now, you, regardless of what you say about my letters being weighty and my speech being contemptible, my sphere includes you. All of you, I brought you to the Lord, and you cannot run away from the fact that my sphere of influence includes you. Now, and that is a fact. You understand? That's okay, that's what he's saying. Go ahead. For we are not overextending ourselves. Now, here is where the problem comes. When people want to overextend themselves, so somebody comes, I give him my platform, this one. And then he goes and he says, God sent him here to help me. And he's telling people that, as if the ministry has diminished since he left. Now you see, that is overextending yourself. Everybody who knows you because of me. If I had not put you on this platform, nobody would know you. But rather than being grateful, you go and start saying, no, actually the Lord sent me to the watchman to teach him spiritual things, because apparently I don't know spiritual things. And what? And that's stupidity. Stupidity. You see, now me, I don't fear using those words, eh? And by the way, these days I'm married. Do you know that prophet told me to become a bit more like the way I used to be? Eh? My spiritual father told me that. He said, I've become too mild. Eh? So I should tune it up a bit more. But you know, some of you didn't know me in that life. I took no prisoners. But somehow the Lord calmed me down, and I learned obedience through suffering. And you know, the scripture says that even Jesus learned obedience through suffering. But that time of suffering, even the Lord has said here before, it started as ended. Now we are going where? To the next phase. So now we've learned obedience. Now it's time to what? To reap. Okay. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. But honestly, listen to this. Somebody comes and says, the Lord sent me here and what? And they really, really, really look rugged. And somehow, because the prosperity anointing is on me, whether you like it or not. Now you wait and see that gentleman whom I've released it to. Because even the people, let me tell you, even the people who came here for the Watchers training, and the way we handled those two events, Prophet's Visit, the Watchers training, and they were all excellent events. You understand? And this is not the biggest ministry in town. But somehow we have the money to do things like those. That is a grace. You understand? And the grace resides upon the person who is the founder of the ministry. Amen? Some of you might say, yeah, but you know, how come you're not driving a Range Rover? You shut up. Katandi kavutandi, see? Praise the Lord. So, you see the fact that we can do those things. We call people, give them breakfast, lunch, even supper. Even the people who came to remove the tent on Saturday evening, they first called them. You know, Mrs. Kajimu called them and told them, come and first have what? Supper. There is supper here before you take down the tent. Praise the Lord. Now, so we feed the 5,000. And even we have 12 baskets full left. Praise the Lord. Because we began to only give them lunch. But we end up, even the students who are going to school, we said, first come and eat. You might reach when they have already served supper. And then you cast the watchman ministries because you spent a night hungry. Now, so, praise the Lord. So, and it's all coming from within you people. And that's powerful. You understand? That's powerful. Because there are bigger ministries which cannot do those things. But you see, the prosperity is in the person. Not in... Okay. So you come, somebody comes and you know they are doing really badly. And I've seen this. Really badly, where you even want to just do something. But the Lord says, no, you relax. The person will be fine. And then after some time of being, they start getting some success here and there and so on. And they don't know that there is a source of that success. Then they go and say, the Lord sent me to help the watchman. Help me? Really? You came with torn pants and you came to help me with torn pants? Are you kidding me? Anti-prophet told me to become what? So I'm walking in obedience. Praise the Lord. I'm walking in obedience. Glory to God. He told me that, by the way. He said, you're too mild these days. Because you know, used to watch me on TV when we were discussing sports. And I'm tearing people to pieces with very powerful English words, which if I mentioned here, some of you would pull out dictionaries. Anyway, praise the Lord. But now these days I'm very calm watchman. You know, Jesus is coming. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. Go ahead. Not boasting of things beyond measure. That is in another man's labors. Now you see, people have to understand, there is something which is another man's labors. When you go to work for a company and somebody started that company and you go there and try to be too much, you are boasting in another man's labors. Go and start your own. That's how we can tell what you are capable of. Amen? Yeah, go and start your own. And you see these things, when you start your own, you learn obedience through suffering. Because it's easier to come where on somebody's thing. Somebody has gathered what? something for you, let's say even a company, and says, now you're the manager, then you come and kuzimba from there, eh? But it's not yours. You see, you're besting in somebody else's labors. Or I call somebody to come and minister here at Watchman, and they say God sent them to help me. They are boasting in my labors. Amen? But the good thing, you eventually go and start your own. And now you help yourself. I no longer need your help. And now let's see after a few years if that method works. Because I cannot go to somebody who promoted me and put me up somewhere. And I've also had people who have done that. And I say such rubbish. I cannot, you do not get away with things like those. You don't. I'm telling you. You put them, that rebellion is rooted in your foundation. And it keeps on showing up at different stages. So it is easy to root it out from the foundation. And you enter into something. I remember I wanted to leave the company I was working for and start my own thing. So I was joining up with this Muzungu man, and he was telling me, you leave. Now you're going to leave. Why are you doing this? Because I was actually working as if I'm going to stay there forever. Yet I was planning to leave in a few months. So you're saying, but why are you doing this and that for them when it's going to be our competition? Why don't you first mess them up in the 3 months you left, then come and start those things here? I told him, I don't do that. I'm going to work the best for them until such a time when I leave. Then I'll leave and start mine, and then I will not be working for them. But I'm not going to be working, giving them quarter service when they are paying me a full salary, just because I intend to leave. Now, if you start like that, that thing stays there in you. Also, you will employ people who will come and will be preparing to start their thing while you're messing up yours. Because you sowed and you're reaping. You understand? And then I also knew, because he didn't know he was not a Christian. Me, I knew Jesus said, if you're not faithful in what belongs to somebody else, who will give you your own? Now, anyhow, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is in another man's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. Okay? Now, there are people who I can say for sure are my sphere. And I know when they are enlarged, I am happy because I'm also enlarged by them being enlarged. Amen? I'll give you an example like this Akena here. Okay? Now, when he's enlarged, I'm the happiest person because I'm also being enlarged. You understand? Eh? And the others, I'm just giving you an example. Now, when I see he's doing something, he doesn't know, but I actually pray for him because I want, you know, because he has his commission also, and I want him to go and succeed in his commission. And it is all, you know, and he doesn't even have to know what I'm doing in the background, by the way, but I've been doing some things in the background just to, because I know that any success that comes of him somehow imputes on me. And even if it didn't, my point is, he will serve faithfully here, and some stage God will send him somewhere else, and that is okay. Amen? Okay. Not boasting of things beyond measure. Okay. Faith is increased. We shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. Go ahead. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. And not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. Now, yes, do you know there are some people, and do you know even there are some of these so-called religions, who only preach among born-again people? And that's especially true of cults. Have you heard these people, the Branhamites? Eh? Once they hear you're born again, they come to preach to you. They can never preach to somebody who is not born again. I don't know why. Now, Paul is saying that if I come to a place and another apostle has preached the gospel there, I will not preach there. I will go to a fresh sphere and start my own thing. This is what he's saying. So I'll preach the regions beyond you. And not boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. So somebody came, and now these people who are boasters and imposters, and you know, posturers, they don't ever start things of their own. They wait for somebody to start, then they come. They wait for the watchman to start, then they come and start kuzimbaring at the watchman. Then they come and kuzimba. They never start their own. because they are in somebody else's accomplishment. They don't say, okay, now I have my ministry. Yeah, you go and start your own. And if you want to zimba, go and zimba from there. Because it's going to be your what? Your right. Go and puff yourself up from that place. Eh? You know, sometimes I speak Luganda and we don't know that. And I forget that this mixler feed goes to places where people don't understand. They are sharp. Eh? So they have the interpretation of tongues. The gift of interpretation of tongues. I don't know. We are that tongue thing of people speaking in known languages which people understand. Eh? We have to get into that thing one of these days where somebody speaks a language. Where I come here and I'm speaking tongues, then somebody from Achori comes and says, "Man, you were speaking our language fluently." I say, "Really? When did you ever learn Achori?" I say, "I don't know it unless I'm in the spirit." I remember a story of actually, I think Oral Robert saying that they were going to have a crusade somewhere in Africa. I think somewhere around East Africa. And so they started praying for it. And they were praying in tongues. And he started praying in tongues. Then he prayed. Then after praying some time, a pastor from Tanzania came and said, "Man, I didn't know you knew such fluent Kiswahili." He said, "Kiswahili, what is that?" And the man had been asking God for the salvation of the people of East Africa. And what's in Kiswahili. But he was praying in fluent Kiswahili. And there was a man from Tanzania there who came and said, "Wow, I didn't know you knew this language." And he didn't even know there was such a language as Kiswahili. Okay, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord what? Now that is the key thing. By the way, like once the Lord commends you, he is the one who has the responsibility to keep you where he has put you. Not you. You don't have to do anything. Go to verse 19. You see now this is a continuation. "All that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed you do bear with me." Go ahead. "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that is, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Verse 3. "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in the gospel." Now, and I love that thing. Eh? Simplicity. The other day I was preaching to somebody who, I think all she ever knew was New Age and, you know, things like that. And so I met her but she had been going through all these things. Somebody, I think, had cast some spell on her, so things were not working well in her life and so on. So somehow I went to her, and she didn't want to tell people that what's happening in my life is crazy. Because how come, like, nobody reaches out to help me, everybody, like, it's really cut off completely in every area. And I know people who suffer things like that, even in relationships, where a man will be with you a short time, he asks you out once and doesn't come back. And then you say, "What's wrong with me?" Then he asks you out, he doesn't come back. Everybody shows an interest, does not come back. Man or woman, you understand, if it happens for both, whatever. So she said, "I think you'll think I'm crazy, but I think there's something spiritual." I said, "No, I don't think you're crazy. I know spirit." She didn't know who I was. So I told her, "Okay, now this is going to end, but you're going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ." So I told her the simplicity of the gospel. Amen? The simplicity. Now, when you tell people the simplicity of the gospel, there's nobody who will not be born again. So, I told her that God is perfect. In him, there is no imperfection. He is holy. In him, there is no unholiness. And man is imperfect by nature. Okay? But God loves man so much, and yet he cannot receive an imperfect man to himself because of his nature. So God becomes man and becomes perfect and lives a perfect life. And by believing in that man who was perfect, man becomes perfect and now has direct access to God and fullness of the access of God. That is the simplicity of the gospel. So I told her, it has nothing to do with what you do. It has everything to do with what you believe. You believe on Jesus Christ, then his perfection is transferred to you. Is you that the Bible says as an inheritance, you inherit perfection. Now, inheritance means you did not deserve it. If it was deserved, you'd have to sit exams to get it. But if it is given to you by inheritance, it means the only qualification is being a child. Or even not. If a man writes his will and says, I'm giving you my house, it means it's not your house, but it's now yours by inheritance. So, the writer, so I told her that, now that's it. She said, are you sure? I said, don't I have to? I said, no. She said, but you know, I feel, what do I do with feelings of unworthiness? I said, no, those ones are not, that's a lie. You are now completely worthy as Jesus Christ himself. So, I explained to her the simplicity of the gospel. She was excited to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So I told her, are you ready to get born again? She said, yes. The simplicity of the gospel. It's just that simple. That through God says, I love man so much, I cannot cast him away. But he deserves to be in hell. So what I will do, let me send somebody who deserves to be in heaven. And that person will go to hell for 3 days for all your sakes. So that you don't have to go there. For you go straight to where that man deserves to go. Amen? That is the simplicity of the gospel. Just that. Now, what if I fail? I said, no, that was taken care of by Jesus. He paid the bill for your imperfections, past, present, and future. Even the ones you are going to do tomorrow are already paid for. She said, how is that possible? I said, you see, when people don't believe these things, do you know that when Jesus died, all your sins were in the future? Eh? Yeah. Hey. So what's so difficult? Unless you lived before him. So what's so difficult about believing that even the ones in the future? Are you going to be perfect tomorrow? How many people have a chance of being perfect tomorrow? Absolutely perfect. Spotless. Yeah. So if Jesus hadn't paid for even your sins tomorrow, then his sacrifice would not be worthwhile. Because we know we are going to make mistakes tomorrow. Amen? Yeah, so we are freed to love God and to serve him with purity of heart. But when we fall short, the bill was paid. The simplicity of the gospel. Now, then I gave her the example of that. If I lent you 100 million shillings, now I'm telling her, if I lent you 100 million shillings and you want to pay me back and you cannot pay me, what do you do when you see me? It's not, I run away, go. Because you're feeling, this guy has, I have his money, I haven't paid him. Then I said, now what if somebody loves you so much and comes and says, no, I don't want you to be in bondage. Then he comes to me and says, Kableta, how much did you lend that person? At 100 million. How much is interest? 100 million. So altogether you want 200 million. Here is 200 million. Now she's freed. Now, if you knew that somebody had cleared that, would you still run away from me? So I told her, the whole world is running away from God because nobody has told them that somebody paid the price. They still feel indebted to him. And so that they don't want to pay the debt, it's that they can't. Because there are debts you can't pay. So I want to pay, but I don't have the money. So they say, no, don't worry. Somebody did it for you. So then you say, hey, now the next time you see Kableta, you come walking even whistling. Eh? Because you know you are no longer indebted. Now, the simplicity of the gospel. Okay, let's go ahead. Okay, now let's go to where I was before. Still the same chapter. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I say again, let no one think of me as a fool. In other words, if otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I may also boast a little. Because here is the thing. Somebody comes and puffs themselves up with things which anybody else can do. But other people just choose to take a back seat, and they're not showing off, The people who show off, it's not that they have too much. There are so many people who have more than them and who would have better reasons to show off, but they are not. because that's not who they are. But then there are these ones who have nothing, but it's good enough for them to show off. Okay, go ahead. This is what Paul is saying. What I speak according to the Lord, but as it were, foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Now, let me speak like them. That's what he's saying. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I will also boast. Okay. For you put up with fools gladly. Now, this is what amazes me. Do you know something? You put up with fools gladly. And now this thing sorted me completely when I got to know what it means. Because there are people who will come to you and you want to help them. And you present to them what it is that can be of help to them. But somehow they find it contemptible, like they did Paul. Then when they go to these people who tell them, come and submit to me. Then they send them, go and switch off the power to watchman. Those ones, they will follow them. Because they put up with fools. And it's not just, how can I, you imagine, if I called Abraham or Roger and told them, go to a certain fellowship and switch off the power. They would say, this man has lost the power of God. Do you understand? But there are people who are made to do that by so-called men of God. Because they put up with fools. And now me, I realize that people love fools. Now, the people who come and tell them, come and submit here. Bring everything here. Set everything and bring it here. What? Those are the ones actually they like. Now, those who tell them good things, they don't like them. This is what Paul is saying here. Let's do it. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. But he's also being nice to them. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage. Do you understand? Have you ever seen the way people put up with bondage? Like, I've been to places where there's a place I knew where a pastor, so-called pastor, like, it would, yeah, there was a church and, you know, people had to be there. And it was real bondage. Bondage. They are there, you know, fetching water, and somehow all your dreams end when you get there. And somehow you just get into. Now, somebody went there thinking about business, about doing powerful things. When you reach there, nothing. It all ends. Now, these people will send people to switch off our power. Do you know what's going to send them away? Brokenness. Because I know people who have been there for 4 years and they have not moved an inch and they're actually going backwards. Brokenness. Like, by the, let me tell you, money is one of the best ways to bring you to what? To obedience. Because you can puff yourself up until you actually have no rent and you cannot puff yourself up on your landlord. Amen? Anybody can talk anything. But there are certain things where, now when there is no anointing of prosperity in a place, I'm telling you, you can jump and talk about anything you want. But clever people will assess their life and say, in 4 years, nothing has changed. Is this right? 4 years, I'm not moving, I'm retrogressing. Then they start assessing their lives. So somebody comes to me and says, I've come to pray for me, nothing is working in my life and what? So the first question I always ask them, where do you fellowship? And usually the answer is those people who send people to switch off power. And I say, if you're fellowship, why don't you go to that man and he helps you? Why do you come to me? The spirit of brokenness rests upon him. You go there. Why do you come to me? Praise the Lord. Learned obedience through what? Suffering. When the landlord is on your case, you learn obedience. Because you can come and say, yeah, you know, they sent me to help the watchman. But the watchman, the landlord, is not on his case. You wait when he gets on yours. Then you learn obedience. Praise the Lord. Money, by the way, money. Don't play with money. Because it has a way of humiliating people. Until they learn that when God designates a way by which you are going to be blessed, just obey that. That's it. Just obey that. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. Amen? Isaiah 47 says, verse 17 says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. You remember that scripture? I preached about it some time ago. I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. Until you learn how to. Eh? It's up there on there. Praise the Lord. Who leads you by the way you should go? Anyhow, so go back. Let's go back to our scripture. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage. If one devours you. Now let me tell you, you will call people. Now here is what beats me, when I read it in the scripture, it settled my heart. Have you ever seen those people who, now I used to see them because I would be in churches, when they want to fundraise money, then they call professional fundraisers. And these guys would come with big testimonies. So they bring these guys, professional what? Fundraisers. Then they come and say, you have to give your Isaac. You have to give your Isaac. You know those. I used to remember those. A guy opens the Bible and says, Bikula Muluka. Sura Komina Biri. Then he says, Bible Yegamba. Ao Yesu. Nave Capernaum. Katibika ko Bible. Then he says, Bible Yegambi. Yesu yave Capernaum. Then Capernaum bwebwaf. Ekisera kituuse ove mu bwavu. Now those are the people that the people put up with. Now when you come and give a sound teaching on prosperity, they will despise it. But when somebody comes with such rubbish, they will actually accept it. This is what Paul is saying. For one brings you into bondage, you put up with it if one brings you into bondage. If one devours you. I remember a guy who came, I think I even wrote it in my book, in some church where I was. The guy came and said, you know, Isaac, you have to give your Isaac. Sorry for those people on Mixland, Rotterdam, and Luganda. They missed the joke. But they should ask God for the gift of interpretation of tongues. So the guy comes, Isaac, what? And man, he was such a good speaker. Now, you see, this is the thing. These guys are good speakers. They're not like me. They are smooth. So the guy went to Solomon's sacrifice at the dedication of the temple. Then he said, Solomon, they brought 120,000 bulls. And he slaughtered them that day on a sacrifice. Then he said, I want you to picture 100 bulls. Just draw a picture. And there's a way he speaks slowly, and you even the picture shows up in your mind. And you even think you're seeing in the spirit. So you see 100 bulls. Then he said, now, do you see 100 bulls? Yes. Now I want you to multiply that. And now make them 1,000 bulls. Then you see 1,000 bulls. Eh? Then he said, now imagine 120,000. Then he said, and that's just the bulls. He also gave sheep. He also gave goats. By the time the guy finishes, people were selling their cars. They were doing what? Of course, we've sold cars. I mean, we've done that before by the unction of the Spirit. Not by people who are smooth talkers. So, he said, now, come here and tell us what you're going to give. So he said, yogerera kumuzindalo. Don't say quietly what you're going to give. Now, you know the way the human mind works. If I tell you to put here, if Asanasius comes here and says, I'm going to give 100,000, the next person who cannot say he's going to give 10,000. It's like a wedding meeting. So when Asanasius says 100,000, then when Akena comes, you say 150. Then the other will say 200. They're just playing on your head. Meanwhile, there's somebody recording. Now the next day, the guy came to the church and said, they quarreled with the pastor for the money which people had given. Interesting, even the pastor had given his car. And the man was saying, give me my money. I remember I was there in the church that day. I was the only one who didn't stand up because I looked at him and I saw a mufere. So everybody, people are even giving while crying. Me have given my word. Then say, Mukubide Mungaro. Mukubide Mungaro. I sat and crossed my legs and pulled out my Bible and started reading. I said, I'm not going to fall for this stupidity. Eh? Amen? When somebody devours you, you put up with them. I don't know why. There are people, like, they put up with some. You clearly see something. Now, then I will come and preach a sound message on giving, which if you followed would actually liberate you from something. Sound teaching. But somehow they look down on it. But when those guys who puff themselves, they put up with them. Now you see, somebody lives here, the guy who came to help the watchman, and some people run with him. Because some people will put up with fools. And he's a fool. Anybody who is given a platform and then goes and says something like that is a fool. Is a what? Yes. If I come and stay in your house and then I leave and I speak such rubbish about your house, I'm a fool. And I stayed in your house because I had nowhere to stay. And I said, Dr. Kajimu, can I come and stay in your house for a week? Then I go and say, ah, man, those guys, eh? Can you imagine they made assist Kalo and Beans, the whole knee? Eh? That is a fool. Eh? That's the definition of what? Yes. Kalo and Beans, the whole week I was there. And you know, praise the Lord. And you know, he had, there's some guy who was telling me he had a friend of his who they went to campus with. Now, this guy is from Teso. And for him, he likes millet. Genuinely likes millet. So, in his household, now they started at campus together. Now they left. This guy got a very good job at an NGO. Even had 2 cars, what? But in his household, they ate millet from Monday to Monday. And he didn't mind it. And it was not a money thing. For them, millet was the meat. They only changed sauce. Today, fish. Tomorrow, beans. The other day, peas. The other day, meat, beef. You know, eh? But standard. Kalo. And the man didn't mind his Kalo. He loved his Kalo. So now his friend came to visit him, who was a roommate at campus, and they were good friends. So first day, Kalo, he says, because he's also from my place, and we also like Kalo, eh? So Kalo is also a good food for us. But these guys are taking it to the next level. Eh? So the first day, he ate the Kalo, no problem. Lunch, supper. Then the next day, then the third day, then the fourth day, then the fifth day. The guy said, but you, man, don't you buy any other food? He said, hey, sorry, I'd forgotten that what? Not everybody likes Kalo like me. So he told him, what do you want to eat? So the guy go and buy some matoke and what? He said, okay. He went and shopped other food. But for them, it was what? Hey, that's how Dr. Kajimu is at there. So, now, I'm joking. Praise the Lord. Thank God for Kalo. Eh? Okay. For you put up with it when one brings you into what? Into bondage. When one devours you. Eh? If one takes from you. If one exalts himself. If one strikes you on the face. Have you ever seen this, what Paul is talking about? You go to a ministry and this is exactly what they're doing. They are sending them to switch off power for other ministries. They're doing what? And the man is going to say, my papa. But your papa is sending you to mess up other ministries. What kind of papa is that? Is that a man of God? Okay, I will not judge. But the point is, if I ever tell somebody to go and do something like that, man, they will look at me and say, man, you guys, you've lost it. And rightly so. But you see, you put up with it when one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, okay? When one comes and does all that post, and you see it in the churches, and you go to places and you see people who have been devoured, who have been brought in bondage, but they are comfortable. Now, the day you come and preach to them a proper, sound, biblical doctrine message, they will get angry with you. Yet they have put up with that for so long. Do you understand? And that thing used to bother me. And I say, can't these people see that this is fake. Not like the time when I was in church and this man was making people announce on top of their lungs what they were going to give. Ah, you get her? Then he says, Zengenda kuwa yo boda boda yang. Ah, you get her? Burundi wakurire. Ngambie. Nenda kuwa yo boda boda yang. Then he says, Mukubire mongaro. Now he looked and said, these people, can't they see that this man is devouring them? Praise the Lord. But thank God that's not how we are. Amen? But then there will always be people who don't like the sound thing. For them, they want to be abused. Just like there will be women who don't want to be nice, but they want somebody who will slap them a bit. Village women. Eh? You know, there was that's a joke. That's a purely joke. But you know, there was a survey where half 52% of women surveyed said that if the husband beats them, it shows that he loves them. 52% in Uganda. Yes, the thing, it was there. It was in the news. So you see people put up when people what? Diva. And bring them into bondage. And takes from them. If one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face, you put up with it. That's what Paul says. Somebody say, that's not me. So for us, we do not suffer. Anybody who has been here does not suffer fools. If somebody comes with that rubbish, you know better. Go ahead. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. Do you see what Paul is saying? That those people put themselves up as strong. Paul says, okay, me who preach to you the gospel, I'm too weak for that. Because for me, I'll just come and present to you the truth. Take it or leave it. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Now he's saying, okay. Are they Hebrews? Now he's bringing out his credentials. Eh? Are they Hebrews? So am I. Do they have all these academic qualifications? So do I. Have they been to America? So have I. You know, some of people don't know. Eh? Yeah, my friend there, Brutus, is the one who knows what America was. What? Somebody says, you know, when I was in Richmond, Virginia, the Lord spoke to me. But the Lord can also speak when you're in Chevando. But they'll never tell you that. It's as if God wants to go to a good place. Eh? The Lord spoke to me when I was in Akron, Ohio. And he told me, as if for me, he spoke to me in Kamoja. And he actually did speak to me in Kamoja. Praise the Lord. And it was the Lord. But he found me in Kamoja. And he spoke to me in Kamoja. So, but you see, like posturing, stupidity, what? Then somebody comes. Now, there was a guy he would first come and talk about how his shoe. Do you see this shoe of mine? Don't look at mine. Eh? He says, this is snake skin. Of course, mine is it. Mine is just simple leather. Eh? But then he first 10 minutes of the what? Eh? Of the injury is about his shoe. Eh? You put up with it when somebody does what? Devours you. That's stupidity. Huh? Imagine you put on your shoe if you want to put on. Like, how childish can the injury get? Eh? But you know, those are the messages we had in those years, eh? When some of you are not yet born again, or even born at all. Some of you are not born, others were not born again. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more than them. You see, now they are comparing Paul, who had said to keep quiet, to come and say, what have they seen? I am Apostle Paul. The whole New Testament was given to me. Everything. The whole New Testament. Can you imagine? The whole of the New Testament was given to him. But even him, in spite of the fact that the one person to whom the Lord Jesus revealed the entirety of the New Testament, they still look down on him. And they still treat him like rubbish. And says, so, am I, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more than them. I have been to the third heaven. I have received revelation from Christ. I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. I have, you know, like, there's nothing, but I just decide to what? Not to present that, to present the gospel, the truth of the gospel, without puffery, without kuzimba. Okay. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In other words, have they preached the gospel as much as I know? Have they converted the whole of, Greece and Asia like I did? No. They haven't, but I did. I'm talking about Paul, not I. This is what he's saying, eh? He did. So he says, but what are they talking about? All these things, the things for which they boast, I am much better than them. So, am I more in labors, more abundant? In stripes, above measure? In prisons, more frequently? In deaths, eh? Not in death, in deaths. Often. Eh? From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys, often. In perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Now, this is the basis of this is a. Now, somebody, I told somebody who was one of this, I told them that ministry is not about you. And the more you learn that, it's about the people to whom you're ministering. God does not call you to, even when God lifts up somebody, it is for the benefit of the other people. You understand? So that they may what? He may pull them up to where he is. Now, when people want to lift themselves up, it's for their own benefit. So I told them, when you understand that somebody, and see, here's the thing, because these people never receive this, they want to come and submit to me and what. But I can tell you that when somebody comes and tells me that they are chasing me out of the house because of rent, it is difficult, one of people here, it is very difficult for me to have a good night. Like I said, it is very hard. I can't just go in my bed and sleep when one of the people I know who are among us is being thrown out of the house. Like, there's something that comes on. Like, that's called maturity. Do you understand? Eh? So if I have to pray, sometimes I've actually paid the money myself for people's rent. I've done that before, but of course, it's not something I could. But you see, it's a certain level of maturity where you understand that it's not just about you. It's actually not at all about you. It's about other people. Amen? That's why you go to pray and you're praying for people whom sometimes you don't even know. This man, I've met him only once. But he came to me last night and I was praying for him because I know what's like, you know. So Paul says, let me talk like a fool. Have you preached the gospel more than me? Have you seen more than me? What have you people seen? Have you received more revelations? Have you done what? You know? Besides the other, what comes to me upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Now you imagine this man, you think about it, this man who goes and has a church all across Europe. He has churches in Thessalonica, in Philippi, he has churches in Corinth, a number of them, by the way, he has churches in, you know, wherever. And even he goes to Asia and he plants churches there and all these churches. And then he is concerned about all of them. They're like his children. So he says, I couldn't come to you. So I sent to you Timothy. And then when he came and told me that you're standing firm in faith, I rejoiced. Like, man, can you imagine? Like, he's carrying a burden of... Now you think, when he sits in his glory in heaven, like God, he has used him to do powerful things. You understand? Eh? So all these people, now he says, I wonder how the people in Corinth are doing. Are they still standing firm in the Lord? Then he sends somebody there. Meanwhile, he's in prison where he's writing these letters. So these people go to that place and come back. Then he says, I received the message that you're standing firm. And therefore, I rejoiced even in my chains. That at least, even if I'm suffering, the people whom I preach the gospel to are standing. Can you imagine? Like, that is the depth of maturity. Where is now, imagine this church, these people who see opportunity and they don't see responsibility. Now, you see, even when I tell people the things which God has called me to do, after here, people see opportunity. Me, I see responsibility. And now let me tell you, if I had a choice outside of whatever, I would have said, let me stay watchman. But I'm going to obey God. And it is not. Now, when you say it, people start to say, who does he think he is? What? Which God told me to do it, and I'm going to do it. And there is nothing anybody can do about that. Amen? I will do it for my reward there. Not for any other reason. And I know what God has called me to do in this nation. I know what I know the opportunity. But I don't stop there. I also know the responsibility. Praise the Lord. I know the responsibility. Now, when somebody comes and stands before people like you, there is the responsibility. Somebody calls and says, man, they have chased me out of the house and you cannot sleep. I guarantee you can't sleep. Like the whole night, you're like, now what are they doing? What is what? How have they slept? What? Like, man, yet I could just say, those are yours, and also just pull my blanket. And say, but I can't. I cannot. I'll be honest with you. It's not possible. Now, okay. My concern for all the churches. Now, I want this thing to be in you. Now, you look at this man. You look at this man before. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Can you imagine? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I'll boast in the things which concerned my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. He goes on to talk about what he has gone through. Now here is the thing. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is thrown out of the house? And I also don't sleep like I was also thrown out of the house. Do you understand? That's what's called responsibility. Now, when people get to that level of maturity, there is no place for kuzimba, pafare. There is none. By the way, there is none at all. It is purely service to the Lord and to the Lord's people. Even in the things for which you are called, in your businesses and what, and in all those things, you have to see when they say, you are going to be blessed and what? There is the opportunity, but there is also the what? Responsibility. Now you see there is a lot of rebellion going on in the church. Let me tell you, I was telling somebody today, that the things which impress other people don't impress me whatsoever. I've seen people who are very, childish. They're impressed by a new suit. Do you see how I look? And that's also their level. Then there are others who are a bit mature. They're impressed by a car. Now let me tell you something. It does not make a difference. Okay, it does. My point is, I appreciate God for good things. But if I got a Range Rover now, right now, there are things which mean a lot more to me than that. And I will not even be there celebrating too much. And people might think but it's the truth. So somebody said, so what do you celebrate? I said, now I will celebrate when I go and stand on the pulpit. And I know that this time I was 100% in the spirit. Everything I delivered was from the spirit. That's more important to me than a Range Rover. I will tell you the truth. Because don't I move? Like that, when I get it right, and I know I got it right, that I minister to God's people what God sent me to do, that excitement lasts me then a whole week, even more. A whole week when I'm still excited. that this time I even go home and tell the Lord that this time I was on point. So, I get excited the whole week. But even if you came and gave me a Range Rover, the excitement will last 1 or 2 days. Yeah, and then it will be another car. Not that I don't appreciate. I would appreciate God for it and so on. Don't get me wrong. But I am not at the level of being impressed by material things. I have had times when I went on the pulpit and I realized I wasn't in the spirit and I delivered rubbish and I feel terrible for the whole week. The whole week, I feel bad. Then other times I know I hit target, you understand? From start to finish, you realize that everything, now we're there, the excitement lasts. Until, if I don't preach for 3 weeks, it will last 3 weeks. The reason I stop the excitement is now I have to prepare myself for the next what? For the next message. Now, there are people who are, now, like, the reason I'm telling you this is, I want you to mature. Like, and get out of trying to, you can't spend all your life asking people to respect you and what. That is childish. And it is very, you cannot serve the people of the Lord when you're like that. And now you see when people want to be in rebellion, which is, and the whole world, and there's a rebellious spirit, and it's actually the spirit of the Antichrist, manifests itself in a rebellious spirit. Do you understand? Now, rebellion is not what you think it is. Some people think it is just the inability to respond to the authority that is in front of you. Amen? Not the one ahead, the one that is in front of you. Now, if somebody here, I'll give you an example again. If somebody here, like Akena, cannot respond to being under my authority, he will say, watchman, no. But, maybe if Prophet Elvis, that one I can respect. I guarantee you, even him, you will not respect him. Now, the day you come close to him, you say, Prophet Elvis, no. Maybe Jesus Christ. Like, that's how rebellion manifests. Paul says, if you do not love your brother whom you see, how do you say you love God whom you've never seen? Do you understand? People who are rebellious always look for somebody higher. So they say, my immediate boss at work, but maybe the MD, if the MD tells me, I'll listen. Let me tell you, if you came close to the MD, you would still not what? Don't forget there are people who were next to God and saw all his glory. And they still went and became Satan. So when the seed of rebellion is in you, you'll keep on asking for something bigger. So I cannot respect the watchman, but maybe Prophet Ovi, that one I will respect. Yeah. But then, it's because he's at a distance. If you were near him the way I am, you'd still disrespect him because rebellion is inside you. You understand? That's why God says, honor your father and your mother. You cannot fear God until you fear your father, your earthly father. Even your biological father, what I mean, earthly father. Like you cannot, because you know what the Bible says? That don't spare the rod, telling parents. Use it on the children and save them from the fires of hell. What has the rod got to do with hell? When children don't respect their parents, they will not respect God. Because the first authority is the authority of the parent. So God says, first submit to the authority of your parent. Then afterwards we talk about God. Because if you miss this one, you will not get the other one. And the spirit of rebellion will be inside you, inside there. Now Saul, they agree with Samuel that he's going to do the sacrifice. Samuel is coming after 7 days to do the sacrifice. Now you think about Saul. 7 days later, Samuel has not come. Samuel said he would come. He has not come. Then the people are scattering. He has to go and fight. And he has to do a sacrifice before he fights. And Samuel is delaying. So he says, bring the sacrifice. Let me handle it. So they bring the sacrifice. And as soon as he has finished giving it. Okay, let's first read this. He who spares his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him before. And there's one which says, and deliver him from hell. Delivers him from hell. It's also around there. use the rod and deliver him from hell, from the fires of hell. Can you imagine? So, as soon as he finishes, then Samuel comes. Start from verse 13. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Okay? You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Because when a child does not respond to the authority of a father, they will not respond to the authority of God. They will not. And if you do not respond to the authority in front of you, you will not respond to bigger authority. It is just the rebellion in you. You have to first start with that person who is ahead of you before you start talking about the bigger. Can you imagine hell? He's talking about hell. And now that's how so many children are raised, especially in the Western world where they think they know too much. And they say, you know, they call this corporal punishment, what? And they think they are wiser than God. Then their children get to a certain age and start committing suicide. Anyhow, so, okay. What else? So now God sends him, God tells him, go and kill all those people to Amalek. He says, kill all of them, kill all the cattle, kill everything, you know. Then he comes back and says, no, we didn't kill everything because the people saw the cows. And they said, we can spare them and give them as a sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord says, get that scripture. It's in. And Samuel said, so you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought himself a man after his own heart. Okay, go ahead to the next one. No, it's Adia. It's Adia. 1 Samuel 15, 23. Start from 18. Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, so you see now the instructions are very clear. Go and kill everything. Now Saul just alters the instructions a bit. Just a little. He went and did what the Lord said, but instead of doing everything, he just took some cows. And then he even gives the excuse that now he brought them to sacrifice them to what? To the Lord. So Samuel says, has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness is as iniquity, and rebellion is like witchcraft. Now, you say, no, I'm not going to rebel against God. No, you don't rebel against God. You rebel against the person who is in front of you. And like, just you decide something, then you decide, I think this is better. Simple things. Now, humanly speaking, this is not such a big sin. Thinking from the mind, this is not such a big deal. I mean, David did worse things than this. David killed a man for his wife. But as far as God is concerned, David is the star. This one is the one who is. Because the instructions were clear. God has said, go and do this. Then you go and do your own thing, plot your own thing. And so he says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, the first time I saw that thing, I said, wow. Wow. And then you see in the New Testament, in Exodus chapter 15, that these are stiff-necked people. Let me come and just destroy them. Stiff-necked, like they can't shift. Stephen. Then he said, you are stiff-necked people. Like, then they got angry and stoned him. Like, and you see, when you see those things, you have to understand that stiff-necked means you can't change, you don't yield yourself to authority. You don't mold to authority. You don't work in a system. And we've seen people. There's a guy who came here. He loved end time a lot. He was but he had no sense of. He had a very rebellious spirit. Very rebellious. When you were starting a WhatsApp group for Watchman, talk about end time, he started his own. And he's targeting the same people of Watchman. Then everything he does is his own. He can never do anything under the structure. No, that is rebellion. Like, that's rebellion. So, even the people, the administrators, we are saying, no. What, you tell him, talk to him? I said, no. When somebody has rebellion, I don't talk to them. Because they will not listen to me. And I know it. I can tell somebody who will listen, and I can tell somebody who will just go and say, now, I am so important, even the watchman called me, talk to me. Can you imagine? So I said, those are yours. So I let him be. Now, one day, he came up here, I think, to give either testimony or something. And he came and decided to step on my carpet. And when I told him not to step, he has never come back. But you see, those are simple things, which... And thankfully, you never see those things on me. I honor people who deserve to be honored. So, in his mind, he has to create something which is parallel. Have you ever seen those people? They will never be under a system. Thankfully, some of them, we talk to them and they learn. So they will come, you have a gift of prophecy, you wait for the meeting to end, then you go and start prophesying to people who are going home. Have I ever stopped anybody from prophesying? Come and prophesy here on this pulpit. You think I'm threatened by anything? Nothing. But there is absolutely nothing that can threaten me. Nothing. I know what God called me to be. There is nobody's talent, no matter how great. You heard what prophet said? God is going to send me dreamers. Why? Because I'm the one who can handle them. I don't put people down. You come with your big dream, you are at home with me. I am not threatened by anybody's gift. Once I see a powerful gift, like even that man there, who my prophet, once I see a powerful gift, I am all for lifting it up and bring it. Because I'm working for my heavenly reward, not to show anything here. I'm working for, because here there's a few years left, there is eternity. And that system is foolproof. Praise the Lord. Remember the word I said at the beginning. Victory. Go home and feed on that word. Victory. You've been through trial. It has been a very trying week. So many people have noticed it. It has been extremely trying. The people who are in. But now it is victory. It is the next level. Praise the Lord. And I got the signal that we have entered another level. Glory to God. So remember that. Now we are in victory. Now we are in the chintu. So between now and Christmas, make sure something has changed. So that at least on Christmas, things are good. Don't come and cry for us brokenness on Christmas. Don't eat carol like Dr. Kajivu on Christmas. From five days a week, carol. Man. In the name of Jesus, Father, I'm glad to pray for sick, but I'm seeing somebody who has a sick child. A child who has been sickly the past. Just, if you're that person, come here very fast and we pray for you. Or the person is I'm seeing like a young girl, like 2 or 3 years, who has been Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your healing power, touches each and every person in this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. Because I thank you, Father. Because sickness has no place in this place. In the name of Jesus. Sickness shall have no place here. Bless your name, O Father. What are you sick of? Okay, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing upon them. Is there one who is that age that I mentioned?
He's five.
Eh?
They just suddenly started diarrheaing and vomiting like the last 2 days.
Okay. The healing power of God touches them. What's his name?
Tali Ndeka.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, the healing power of God touches him.
Amen.
And he's healed.
Amen.
He's healed. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the powerful things that you are doing. I thank you because everybody is connecting to the victory of starting December onwards. Now, you hear that, you've heard it being said by some unlearned, unschooled, unwise people that January is a dry month. But that is not your portion. Yes. Now, for you, you are going to have a lot of money in January. Yes. You actually are going to have more money in January than you've had even in December. Eh? So January is a fruitful month for you.
Amen.
Say amen if you believe it.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because now miracles will happen in that month of financial nature. And they will come from all sorts of places. I bless your name, O Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.